Some years ago, the trio was singing at Ohio camp meeting, Sabbath morning. And the speaker was Dr. Kendra Holowiak, who was teaching at that time at Columbia Union College. And I just remember being so blessed. You know, sometimes you're blessed by the message, and sometimes you find that the person is a blessing. With Kendra, both what she said and who I came to know her as a person are both just a blessing. And Kendra, we're so glad you can be with us, and also that you can have in your company two of your former church family members from Sligo underneath the banners that hung in Sligo. So we're glad you're with us.
Thank you so much. It's been such a blessing to be with you this Sabbath day. Before I even made it to the sanctuary, I was greeted by two people. What a friendly church. Thank you, Ronnie and Tim, for greeting me and welcoming me. Thank you so much for the class discussion at Sabbath school time, for the familiar faces, and for the opportunity to make new friends. It's been a blessing. Let's pray together. God, thank you for your holy word. We ask that you will bless us as we study it together. Amen. At the beginning of each school term, I ask my students some questions, just in order for us as a class to get to know each other better. I ask them, for example, what is your favorite subject to study? Of course, aside from religion classes, which is that automatic favorite, right? What is your favorite subject to study? What is your favorite book? What is your favorite film? What is your favorite musical artist? What is your favorite song? The idea of one's favorite is sometimes difficult, and often the students want to clarify that they're sharing one in the top 5 or 10 of their lists. For them to say absolute favorite gives a sense of leaving the others behind, somehow places the others in a totally different category that makes them uncomfortable. Good teachers aren't supposed to have favorites precisely because of that sense of one being placed above all the rest. Parents aren't supposed to favor one child over another. But the Gospel of Luke understands the word differently. There are at least 3 ways of expressing the idea of being favored. And our English word favorite, that idea of one being above the rest, is not one of Luke's 3 ways of understanding that word. We find Luke's 3 ways of expressing being favored in the first few chapters of his Gospel. The gospel that goes into great detail to tell us about the miraculous births of John the Baptist and his cousin Jesus. The first way of expressing being favored is probably best described as graced. It's the same word as grace in the New Testament. When Paul begins his letters, "Grace to you and peace," it's the same word that Luke uses that we translate favored. When the angel comes to Mary to tell her about her miraculous pregnancy, our English translations say something like, "Hail, O favored one, the Lord is with you." It could also be translated, this is Luke 1:28, "O graced one, you have received much grace, the Lord is with you." A few verses later, the angel will say, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor or grace with God." Chapter 1, verse 30. This is the very same word that's used later in Luke, chapter 2, to describe Jesus. Surrounding the story of Jesus being left in Jerusalem are 2 verses. On either side of that story are 2 verses, chapter 2, verse 40, and chapter 2, verse 52. 2:40 says, "And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor or grace of God was upon him." Then there's the story of being left in the temple. And then, 2:52, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor or grace with God and humanity." Now, perhaps we aren't surprised that Jesus is described in this way. After all, we know that he is the main character in this amazing story. However, if we were living in the first century and were reading this story for the first time, we would probably be surprised that Mary is graced by God. As a woman who was betrothed but not yet married, she was probably between 12 and 12 and a half years of age. We never hear about her parents. Perhaps she was an orphan. We don't know who set up the bride price, who arranged with Joseph the engagement. Her father, an uncle, a brother. Who did she live with? Who took care of her? Who protected her? If we just read the Bible, we don't know if Joseph was the typical age for a male getting married, between the ages of 15 and 18. Or if this was a second marriage for him. There are so many questions. However, we do know that Mary was very young, probably just going through puberty. She was legally bound to Joseph, for breaking a betrothal was similar to a divorce, since money had already exchanged hands. Joseph could break off the engagement for a variety of reasons. She, of course, could not. In her society, a young girl from a poor family, an idea that we get later in the story, this young girl from a poor family without a male to protect her was extremely vulnerable and lacking in value. Yet the angel calls her favored, graced. And her song captures the magnitude of the moment. The young girl proclaims, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He's brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He's filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." God has heard the voices silenced by society. Mary's song proclaims that a new day has begun. A new social order has arrived. This is a time when girls from poor families are favored, graced, wonder of wonders. Where other New Testament writers will emphasize other aspects of this word grace, Luke emphasizes the connection between grace and favor, and Mary is amazed. A second way of expressing being favored is often translated as looked upon. Looked upon. The idea is that God favors someone by looking upon them. Not just any look, but a look that lingers. A fixed look that takes in everything, that shows concern, consideration, care. You know the difference between someone who glances at you and someone who really sees you, who looks with compassion and knows your sorrows and your joys. It's one way Luke describes God, favoring people by looking upon them. At the beginning of this gospel, we meet Elizabeth, chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. Elizabeth, she's first described as the wife of Zechariah, a priest. And then she's described as a descendant of the famous man Aaron. Then she's described as a righteous person who took God and God's law seriously. Then she is described as barren and getting on in years. For Luke's readers, that combination of descriptions would be shocking. This same woman, after 5 months of pregnancy, proclaims in verse 25, "This is what the Lord has done for me when he looked upon me with concern, with care, with favor." The same word is used by Mary when she visits Elizabeth. After saying, "My soul magnifies the Lord," Mary continues, "For God has looked with concern, care, favor on the lowliness of his servant." In Luke's gospel, favor is both associated with grace and it contains the concept of God looking, really seeing people's needs, showing concern, consideration, care. Imagine the conversations between these two women as they went through months of providential pregnancies together. Scripture says that Mary stayed with Elizabeth until John was born, verse 56, and then went back to Galilee to begin life as a wife. Did you notice how Mary traveled to be with Elizabeth? Luke's gospel mentions lots of journeys. Jesus goes on a huge, long journey to Jerusalem throughout the majority of Luke's gospel. At the end, chapter 24, there are two disciples who are journeying from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Lots of journeying going on in this particular gospel account. Mary journeyed to Elizabeth's town in order to honor her. 2 months ago, I traveled to Birmingham, Alabama for a baby dedication in order to honor my cousin Nola and her family. In our culture, extended family typically travels to the place where the immediate family of the newborn lives. However, since I'm the older cousin, if we'd been living in the first century, Nola would have had to travel from Birmingham to Riverside, to my town. In the first century world, it would be seen as appropriate that Mary, the younger cousin, traveled to see Elizabeth, which makes it that much more startling that Elizabeth, when she hears Mary's greeting, asks, "Why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me?" Now, anyone who overheard Elizabeth would not understand this statement. Of course, Mary should be the one to travel. But these two women have been given insight into the miracle child that's growing inside of Mary. And this idea of traveling, of visiting, leads us to the third way of expressing being favored. Luke uses a word that suggests that favored also means visited. Visited with grace, a gracious visitation, if you will. In Zechariah's song, found in chapter 1, beginning in verse 68, Zechariah says, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited with grace, looked favorably on his people, and redeemed them." Simeon, the elderly man in the temple who will bless Jesus and his parents, expands Zechariah's song. He expands it beyond the walls of Jerusalem and the roads of the Jewish sections of Galilee to include the land of the Samaritans in Judea and the water routes of the Romans and the entire world. Beginning in chapter 2, verse 29, Simeon says, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." This same word will be used at the end of the widow of Nain's story, which is only found in Luke's gospel account, chapter 7, verses 11 through 17. When the widow's dead son sits up, the people in the funeral procession proclaim, "A great prophet has risen among us. God has graciously visited his people." Luke understood that through Jesus' birth, life, ministry, death, and resurrection, God has graciously visited his people. Young Mary is graced. Elderly Elizabeth is looked upon with care and concern. And the entire world is visited with grace. Because of God's visit to earth, everyone is favored. Everyone is favored. If we read Luke's sequel, the book of Acts, we'll discover that the Jews will have to learn what Simeon so quickly understood, that Gentiles are included in this amazing visitation. Gentiles will need to be reminded that Jews also receive God's favor. Throughout the ages, people learn and relearn that the visitation of God, that grace-filled event when God showed the degree to which God looks at humans with care and concern, that visitation of God was to an entire planet of people. The visitation, the grace, the favor was to every single person. Seventh-day Adventists sometimes need to be reminded that in the Gospel of Luke, favored does not mean favorite at the exclusion of others. For Luke, favored means graced, looked upon with care, and visited by God. Several years ago, a student popped her head into my office. She had her first draft of her term paper in her hand, and she asked me if I would be willing to read it and make any suggestions. I said, "Sure, I'd love to. Give me a couple of hours and then come back. I'll have it ready for you." I read it sitting there in my office. It was a terrific paper. Really well done. I wrote a couple of very minor suggestions in the margins, little grammar issues here and there. Nothing that would take her very long to correct. A couple of hours later, she popped her head in and I said, "I read it. Please sit down." And I put the paper on the desk between us, and I said, "This is a terrific paper. You did a great job. You're a gifted writer." And tears started forming in the corners of her eyes. I thought maybe she misunderstood. "It's a terrific paper. Excellent." The tears started to flow. I thought, well, maybe she saw the comments in the margins. These are just minor suggestions. This won't take you long at all. Sobs. After a few moments, she was able to tell me what was wrong. She said, "In my whole life, no one has ever told me that I did a good job on anything before." Suddenly, the tears were forming in my eyes. And while she kept crying there in my office, one of the pictures that immediately went to my mind's eye was my parents' refrigerator. And preschool Kendra's crayon drawings that would be up there for weeks on end so that all the neighbors and friends that stopped by could see what a great budding artist they had in their home. I can't remember a day of my childhood without affirmation. This 19-year-old had never had anyone tell her she did a good job before. If your experience has been similar to my students, please know you are amazing. You are fantastic. You are favored. You are graced. You are looked upon with care and concern. You are visited by God. And you aren't alone. The coworker who sees things opposite from you, favored. The man with the sign, "Hard times, out of work," he's favored. Oh, he is, for whatever complicated reasons, he is disadvantaged, but he's still favored by God. The problem student, favored. The guy who refuses to let you merge into the through lane, favored. The grocery clerk who has no patience as you try to get your coupons and money together, favored. The doctor or nurse or technician who is abrupt, favored by God. The child who hasn't been in touch for a while and is breaking your heart, favored. The legal immigrant, favored. The illegal immigrant, favored. In Luke's gospel, those who are favored might not be the people that we would expect, but that's Luke's point. Everyone is favored. As one commentary puts it, Luke's gospel is about ever widening circles of outsiders until there are no more outsiders. No one is without favor, because favor is about grace, about being looked upon with concern and with care. It's about a gracious visitation that began when a young girl heard an angel say, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. Amen."